The thing about girls' drinks is that they're usually just ridiculously tasty.
Smoker, stoker, my right in between, counting my profits, poker. Faces I soak up, the taste, the display of women on my sofa. Doing the type of things I love so much, but so what? I'm sneezy, it's not easy being Joe Smut. With more bucks than you can count, more than what's in your clutch. I could fund a small war and start a recession. A big dog, a boss hog, what I want is the question. I want it all. I want it all, I need it all. Right now, I want it all. What I want and I need it right now. Give it to me, baby. I don't care how.
It's Sunday, July 11th, 2021. Episode 058. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm well, on yourself?
Doing all right, I suppose, all things considered. It's been a rainy weekend.
Well, that's good because, that's good for me because it's been a sunny weekend here, which means it'll be rainy Monday and Tuesday, and I'm okay with it.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that seems to be how it works out. I gotta say, man. But like we was talking before the show, this is a big show, man, and people need to stick around for the second segment because you brought this to my attention. I done some independent verification, and this shit is insane. So stick around, people. Stick around. It's big and scary. Big and scary.
Well, that's something to look forward to, right?
I think it absolutely is. It absolutely is. My mind was blown. So, yeah, stick around. And also,
motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
So you're drinking Pepsi and rum with lime and what tonight, Joe? Today?
Actually, you're wrong on both. Oh,
I knew it. I knew when I tried to do it. When I tried to be a smart aleck, you'd catch me.
Today I'm having the Smirnoff Ice, red, white, and berry. Ooh. It's a blue raspberry cherry citrus concoction.
Sounds delicious, actually.
It is.
Yeah. I think my brother's girlfriend was drinking one of those one time, and it was.
You calling it a girl's drink?
I am not, sir.
Although it probably is, if we're honest.
But you know what? The thing about girls' drinks is that they're usually just ridiculously tasty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, girls' drinks are delicious.
They are delicious.
What are you having?
Don't fall out of your chair. I'm actually having a Paulaner Hefeweizen.
What the hell?
A German wheat beer.
German wheat beer?
If God drank beer, I'm assuming he doesn't because he's God, but you never know. But if he did, this would be his favorite.
I'm sure God drinks beer. You see a sense of humor? Like, you know, the platypus.
Well,
Aardvark.
Yeah, but then he does crazy shit like flooding the world and killing everyone. So
yeah, I mean that's the type of thing, you know, an all powerful being would do while drinking too much beer.
Could that be? Oh my. Or I was going to say, would that be a bipolar kind of a diagnosis, maybe? Like really chill on one hand and then destroy humanity on the other?
Yeah, that too. I mean, but, you know, we've both known drunks who could be like that.
So, yeah. So, it's actually, it's super tasty. I pressured my buddy Mike into getting some because he seemed to be content with Sam Adams, and I was like, dude, you gotta at least try this beer. And I know that he'll never admit it, but I know that he probably loves it too.
So what I hear you saying is that he probably loves it, but will never ever admit it.
No, he'll never admit it to me.
You hear
the
that?
The best I'll get out of him is all right. Yeah, I hope he hears this. I'm calling him out.
We are talking about you.
Yeah. No, it's actually it's tasty. I haven't had it. Well, yeah, I'll leave it at that. It's tasty.
Tasty. All right. Well, very
good. So, Joe, I got a new Ahmaud Arbery update.
I'm glad that one of us does, because I looked and could not find one.
Yeah, this is 9 days old, and I don't know that it's necessarily going to tell us things that we hadn't heard, but it was new, and so I figured I'd do my due diligence and put it in here. And I got a clip for us to listen to, so check it out.
Tonight, attorneys for the men charged with killing Ahmaud Arbery, you see him right here, they say the victim's past played a role in his killing. And those arguments made today in a Glynn County courtroom, where defense attorneys are asking a judge to allow evidence about Arbery's character. All Your Size Troy class has been following the hearing all day. He joins us live now with the latest. Troy.
Yeah, thank you, Anthony. That hearing, which lasted roughly 7 hours today, just coming to an end not too long ago. And once again, we heard attorneys for the family, again, continue to deny that, again, Arbery's past had anything to do with three men getting in their pickup trucks and chasing him down the street before shooting and killing him in February 23rd of 2020. So again, that was most of the argument that we heard in the courtroom from defense attorneys for Travis McMichael, Greg McMichael, and Roddy Bryan. So again, the state says again that this has nothing to do with it, but the defense continued to bring up several past instances in which Arbery had run-ins with the law enforcement and also some of Arbery's mental health issues. Now, family says that it's been difficult, again, watching this all play out. And for the first time, we saw Ahmaud Arbery's mother in the same courtroom as the
I'm going to stop it for a second, because I still got to point out that regardless of his past, which doesn't matter, but these three fucks don't know about that at this time.
No, they don't.
And they and I have another video that I guess I didn't pull the audio from. I just listened to it, but the guy was, you know, they thought he had like was responsible for robbing a you know, like a construction site. But again, it's not like he's, you know, running down the street carrying
a TV,
you know, yeah, stuff. So these guys, the defense, from what I've heard, is just it just has no legs to stand on. Then again, we know that doesn't necessarily matter, but
nope,
this is a horrible defense if this is what they're going to try to pursue. Got a few more seconds here.
Defendants in this case, and she spoke about today's hearing and what she might expect for tomorrow.
You know, just looking at the guys who took my son away was kind of different, but I appreciate that they were able to come out to court. And as far as what they're going to bring in tomorrow, but nothing's going to surprise me coming from the defendants. I heard a lot in the bond hearings on their character, so I won't be surprised at anything that that I hear.
Now, some of that evidence she is referring to is social media posts made by the McMichaels and text messages from them and Roddy Bryan with racial slurs and, again, claims that, again, the federal prosecutors say led them to pursuing hate crime charges against these three men. But again, here in the state's prosecution of the case, the defendants, they are trying to push for that evidence of Arbery's character to be introduced, but state prosecutors feel, again, it has no relevance. So we're going to pick things back up here tomorrow at 10 a.m. when the hearing starts back up again. We're live in Brunswick. Troy Kless, First Coast News, on your side.
Yeah. Sounds weak to me.
Mighty weak sauce.
Yeah.
But hey, this is American justice. And so, you know, and this is southeastern Georgia. So, you know, we, you know, really have no idea. I mean, this could all make perfect sense to the jurors down there.
I can't let myself think that. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. There's always a chance.
There's always, you know,
I just can't see.
Hopefully very small.
Yeah. Yeah, I think these guys are I don't think these guys are walking. Yeah. Anything else on that before we move on?
I guess maybe we should probably switch to start thinking about how many years they should be spending under somebody's jail. Like, do you think they should be free air again, or
no, I think they need however many years they have left on their life would suffice.
Like, hey, what do you got? Yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah. Life, I think anything less than life would be misjudged, a miscarriage.
Yeah, justice. I think you might need to get prepared for a miscarriage, man.
I don't know, man, because we got the feds are like,
yeah, yeah,
they're in the batter's deck.
You're right. I mean, when you put it in terms of it's a federal case. Yeah, they're going away for a long time. I think the younger one will end up with some years on his life, but I think the two older ones might expire there. Good for them.
Yeah, I'm not going to lose sleep over that.
We sound like some bastards, but you know.
Well, you know what? It's what they did was horrible, but then to hear them trying to justify it makes me even madder.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you couldn't just say, you know what? I got caught up and I was, you know, I was wrong. I'm so very sorry. I throw myself on the mercy of the court. These guys didn't have that type of dignity.
No, they had to go. Like he deserved it.
Yeah, they're trying to justify. Yeah, these guys are first class dirtbags. I mean, yeah. We already knew that, but seeing it in this different light just kind of, you know, put the fine point on it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so you called this practically. As soon as we heard about Bill Cosby being released early, you practically one of the first things you asked was, "So, what do you think he's going to go do a comedy tour?"
Well, I mean,
and I was like, "Well, I mean, I don't know, man. He's old, but
you remember what I said? Like, you know, a guy who's been in the business for I think he's been like a comedian or in some way on a stage of some sort since like 1957."
Yeah.
So, like I said last week, I think, like, you know, a guy like that probably doesn't turn it off. He's probably, you know, doing shows in prison. And so, I mean, I think the next time we might see, you know, see Bill Cosby, he might, like, have, like, a leather coat and some sunglasses because I guess, you know, that's what you do once you get out of prison. But, I would not be surprised if he had a show. And there was a lot of drama surrounding it, but it ended up being a smash hit. But maybe we should read this thing.
Before we do, I want to ask you real quick. Are you familiar with his work before The Cosby Show, like his stand-up. And I mean, he done, and I think he created the Fat Albert.
Yeah. I'm familiar. He created Fat Albert, Green Hornet, a bunch of black positive exploitation type black positive exploitation type film back in the late 60s, 70s.
Yeah, I'd say so. But his stand up, I used to have I think two of his stand up routines on tape that I used to listen to as a kid, and I even had it memorized. I don't anymore, but he his kind of comedy, and it's no surprise, is more like a
family.
He doesn't just it was family friendly, but it wasn't like you come out and just bang jokes. He told stories.
Yeah, and it'd be like, you know, did you? Oh, I think that maybe was part of the one of the clips you spliced in last week with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
He did a great imitation.
Yeah, he's good. He does a good and he was doing the Richard Pryor there at the end. He does.
He did a better job with Richard Pryor than Cosby, but both of them were very good.
Yeah, makes me want to look up his old stuff. Listen to it again. I can't. It was a unique kind of comedy. It was good stuff. But yeah,
I would be very curious as to see what Bill Cosby's comedy looks like after what he's been through. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's why that whole comedy with the black leather coat and sunglasses. I mean, yeah. after he's been what he's been through, I don't think it's, you know, yeah.
I'm excited.
Maybe I'll read it.
Sure, go ahead.
Bill Cosby is reportedly excited the way the world is coming back to him. Really? Excited the way the world they're coming back to him?
Just days welcoming him back.
Welcoming him back. I need to slow down. Just days after his release from prison, Bill Cosby is already eyeing a return to stand-up comedy. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the newly freed comedian spokesperson, Andrew Wyatt, told reporters Thursday that Cosby has been talking to a number of promoters and comedy club owners and is just excited the way the world is getting back to him. A number of promoters have called. Comedy club owners have called. People want to see him, Wyatt told Inside Edition. The pivot to comedy comes just days after 83-year-old Cosby was freed from prison after serving more than 2 years of a 3 to 10 year sentence following dozens of women accusing him of rape and sexual assault.
Yeah, I'm sure that I don't know. Places like this, I'm sure they would rake in the money if they was to get him. But man, you know that there's going to be like just tons of protests outside every place that he plays.
I don't know if there will be.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, you've heard the idea that there's no such thing as bad publicity, haven't you?
Well, I have, but
that kind of plays into the hands of, I mean, of a comedian. Like, a politician can never do this type of comeback because, you know, the media, and you're right, various protests would occur, but with comedy, those protests are all good, right? That's what you want. So
I hear you, but I don't think you want a bunch of people picketing outside your club, harassing your potential customers.
I mean, would picketers stop you from going to see comedy?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to deal with them, man.
I mean, I would laugh as I pass them. Yeah. To me, picketers would just be – our protesters would be just part of the show almost.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people that would think that way. So anyway, you know, I'd watch his Netflix special.
if he were to shoot on YouTube, like Dave Chappelle type, impromptu comedy show, would you watch that?
Yeah, I would watch. I'd like to watch anything that he. I'd like to watch anything that he does.
I'm curious because when he went to jail, pretty much every comedian and almost every black comedian had to say something about it, had to have an opinion. And I'd be interested now that he's back, and it seems as if he's been exonerated, if everybody's still going to have an opinion on the Bill Cosby question.
Well, was he really exonerated, though? I mean, he was let out under technicalities, really. But
as I understood, this is from me spending some time going and digging in the weeds a little bit. It seems to me that he may have been exonerated. Exonerated in terms of, hey, I'm free. And, yeah. I mean, people want to say that he was convicted of rape. Wasn't convicted of rape. He was convicted of, sexual assault, which is basically unauthorized petting.
Right.
This is not to say that he, this is, it's still a bad thing, but he's not, mm-hmm. guilty, I guess.
I'm going to say this, and it's a horrible thing to say, but there's rape, and then there's not quite rape. Inappropriate, but not rape.
Well, rape is like, penetration
it's a violent, very violent.
Like, rape is rough sex taken too far and without permission. Just without permission. Rough sex doesn't have to be, just without permission. Sexual assault is pretty much any unauthorized, undesired touching.
So like it's almost to the point where it's just anything that makes a woman uncomfortable.
Well, any physical contact that makes a woman uncomfortable. That's a good definition. Mm. Because the words can make you uncomfortable, but that's like not physical. That's not assault. Assault is contact.
Did Louis C.K., do you think he was sexual assault for jacking off in front of a chick without her permission?
Because there's no physical contact, it could not be sexual assault. It could be, lewd or lascivious, behavior, but not sexual assault. I'm not even very sure of that. I mean, if you can be convicted of that, was he convicted of something or just,
No, I don't think he was. I don't think convicted of anything.
But once again, it is once again interesting to note that nobody's been Me Too'd in a minute.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think COVID kind of put the kibosh on Me Too.
Yeah, it put the kibosh on a lot.
Some things good, some things bad. Me Too was a good thing to have the kibosh put on.
Yeah. One more thing on that before we move on. But again, the Me Too thing, good intentions needed. I think it was definitely needed at the beginning, but as with everything, it became co-opted and abused and turned into a out of control monster.
Oh, you talk about Me Too?
Yeah, Me Too.
I guess to me it was like a long overdue,
a reckoning.
Yeah, cleaning out. Like cleaning out your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. That stuff that's back there that you haven't eaten, and you haven't thrown away yet, but needs to go. I mean, perverts or guys in charge of media and stuff like that who prey on the young help. Those guys, should have been. There should be a regular and recurring pushing out of those guys. But, Yeah.
It looks like we lost Joe's...
regular and recurring.
Audio. Oh, there, you're back.
What, I vanished?
I lost you for a few seconds there.
Don't worry, I'm back.
Yeah, good deal. So this next item, this is just something I'm going to keep harping on this because I just think right now I know we're just kind of like, these are just casual, like, things to kind of like laugh and roll your eyes at, but I think there's a darker purpose behind them. And we keep getting stories like this out and, I just want to make note of them.
What is it?
Yeah. And it's this whole push to get us to eat anything but meat. And so I got two little short stories here that I'm just, I want to just touch on. The world's first lab grown sushi bar is about to open in San Francisco. Aquaculture startup Wildtype will soon serve slaughter-free sushi-grade salmon at its pilot facility in San Francisco, which is capable of producing 200,000 pounds of lab-grown fish per year without destroying the ocean. This fall, a first-of-its-kind sushi bar is slated to open in San Francisco, California, where all the fish on the menu has never been pulled from the ocean or been alive, for that matter.
Don't trust.
That's because the sushi bar is operated by Wildtype, an aquaculture startup that grows sushi-grade salmon from a small amount of fish cells in a lab setting. Adjacent to its pilot production facility, the sushi bar will be part of a complex operated by Wildtype and designed by acclaimed architect Xu Zhai. that's nothing like how it's pronounced, I'm sure, but it caught me off guard. Which features an education center with bleacher seating and a glass door separating the tasting room from the production floor. Elements that promote transparency in the novel cultivated meat industry, and a stark contrast to the opacity of the global industrial fishing industry. Joe.
Yes.
Okay. You know, when I hear this, what it makes me think of is, you know, you've seen those videos of like Japanese businessmen, you know, eating like fish that are like, like octopus or fish that's still alive. I mean, they're still literally kicking around.
Korean business. That's like Korean people.
Okay.
That's like a thing. But it's funny because, like when you say Japanese businessmen, there's almost no level of evil you couldn't see those guys engaged in. But that specific evil, eating living squid and octopi, that's something that the Koreans are known for.
That's what popped in my head. So
presumably if they're using fish sale, I mean, so this is different from people trying to pass off vegetables as beef, right?
Right. Right.
So presumably if you didn't know that it was, you know, lab grown fish, you wouldn't know, right? Presumably, you know, if it's still fish that's grown in the lab, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference in terms of texture or something like that. That's what I would assume.
That's what I get from the article, but I just don't trust it.
I mean, and this is going to sound odd, I trust more lab-grown fish than I do beef tasting vegetables.
I suppose so.
I mean, because like in one, you're a vegetable trying to be something that you're not, whereas The other one, you're like, you know, this is fish, but not like fish from, you know, a fish. But I guess it is from a fish because it's from a fish's sails.
You know, what occurs to me is I think probably more often than we'd like to think, when we get, I mean, at a sushi bar, if you order, you know, crab, anything with like, is it possible that you're probably eating imitation crab?
It's like likely.
Although even that, I guess, is made from some kind of fish. But I don't know. I just don't like this. I don't like what it's implying, I don't think.
I think what it's implying is you've got, you know, fish-based protein without the actual killing of fish. And, it, you know, I mean, I still prefer my fish to be killed. I prefer my fish to be from fish and not, like, you know, fish sales. But this strikes me as not as bad as, I mean, I think it's not as bad as eating bugs.
Amen.
And I think it's also not as bad as eating, you know, like I said, vegetable-flavored beef or beef-flavored vegetables.
Right.
So.
Well, I got another story here.
All right.
Israelis taste the future with lab-grown chicken food revolution.
Hmm.
It looks like chicken and tastes like chicken, but diners in Israel are tucking into laboratory-grown meat that scientists claim is environmentally friendly, is an environmentally friendly way to feed the world's growing population. In a small restaurant in a nondescript building in a science park in central Israel, in the central Israeli town of Nes Ziona, diners munched burgers and minced meat rice rolls made with cultured chicken meat grown in the adjacent Super Meat production site. It was delicious. The flavor was great, said Gilly Confi, a self-described meat eater from Tel Aviv who had signed up for the meal months in advance. If I didn't know, I would have thought it was a regular chicken burger.
Yeah, I take issue with that. This guy says he's a meat eater.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't eat pork or bacon.
Oh, good point.
So, like, yeah, he's like, you know, he's a beef eater. He's not a meat eater. And this is a beef eater making comment on chicken.
Yeah, I keep seeing these stories. I'm going to keep reporting them. Bugs, fake meat, all that stuff. I think it's going somewhere, man. I don't know exactly where yet, but somewhere.
Quick question. Does that make me seem like an anti-Semite? My last comment.
Well, no, you're pointing out. I mean, that's part of their – is it a culture or a religion?
Yeah, I mean,
don't know. It's a religion, right?
Yeah, they don't eat. If he's Jewish or Muslim, he's not eating beef. So he's not eating pork. I did make it sure.
I don't think I would not call you an anti-Semite.
Would you try a chicken cultured chicken burger?
I'm not inclined to. I mean, if I was walking down the street and someone was like, "Hey, do you want to try this?" Or maybe no. That's weird. Maybe if I was like going around in Costco or something and then they was hey,
offering a sample.
Yeah, a sample. Out of curiosity, I give it a shot. But, you know, it would not be something that I would ever intentionally order.
And this might be because the Smirnoff Ice red, white, and berry is hitting me differently than the rum normally does.
It's talking to you.
I think so. But I think I'll be interested in trying it because, you know, I don't know why meat grown from a Petri dish is so much better to me than meat that's from a vegetable. That's kind of weird in a way.
Well, they you know, they add a shit ton of additives and whatnot to that to make
the vegetables. Yeah, and that's why I'm like, if you've added enough stuff whereby, you know, broccoli is now tasting like bacon, I probably should want no part of it. But if you take what otherwise would have been chicken or fish, and you grow those cells, and they end up being like, I guess, you know, fish meat on a from a, you know, end up being fish meat. For some reason, I'm much more understanding, even though you've done much more to the meat than you did the vegetables, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess I'd want to know. Not that I would understand it, but I think I'd want to know more about the production.
Yeah, like what, you know, so it's not chicken as we understand it traditionally, but what is
right.
it?
Yeah.
That's a pretty interesting question.
Yeah. did you hear that that old urban legend about how KFC, they had to legally change their name and take chicken out of the title because they were really serving these they were growing chickens in labs that didn't have any, basically they were just growing like breasts and thighs and shit like chickens with no heads or
what. You're like free chickens.
Yeah. Franken chickens, I think they called it.
I hadn't heard that one. I'd heard that, like, you know, all the KFC was really just vegetables. I remember somebody told me that one. I'm like, yeah, that was just dumb.
Yeah.
But I guess I would sooner believe the one you just told me about.
Yeah, that's funny. Because, I guess it is. They don't. It's not really called Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. It's called KFC.
I heard they did that because Kentucky doesn't necessarily have like the greatest name around the world. And so KFC just sounds more universal than Kentucky, you know.
Fair enough.
You know, for all of the things people say about Kentucky, I don't know too many people from Kentucky that I don't like. They're all really nice people. And it's a, you know, really friendly place from my experience. But
did you ever make the trek down to the original KFC in, I don't know exactly where it's at, but the original store?
You know what? I haven't, and that makes me sad that I didn't.
Yeah. I did many, many years ago. I can't recall a whole lot, but anyway. We're dwelling on that too much. did you know I am now Joe Biden's biggest fan? I know that I've been very critical of him in the past, but if he follows through with this, I'll vote for his reelection, and you'll never get me to say another bad thing about him.
All right, I'm assuming that, like, you know, there's a punchline and I'm waiting for it, but as I wait for it, I will say that Joe Biden has been better on certain things than what I would have expected.
Okay, well, I'm really digging this. Here's a clip. Oops, sorry.
The reason I'm bothering to do this is I keep hearing on the press Biden's going to raise your taxes. Anybody making less than $400,000 a year will not pay a single penny in taxes. And we will not increase the deficit either.
Woohoo! No federal taxes, baby. I'm way under $400,000. So,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the clip.
You didn't hear it?
No.
This streaming, we're Zencaster is messing with us today, Joe. You've dropped out on me a couple times, and all right, I'm going to try this again.
The reason I'm bothering to do this is I keep hearing on the press Biden's going to raise your taxes. Anybody making less than $400,000 a year will not pay a single penny in taxes. And we will not increase the deficit either.
Did you hear that one?
Nope. And as I looked at Joan, there was no readout either. There was no, no vibration. And Joan's not even showing. Normally, Joan shows up as Joan.
Oh, I had to type the name in with the tablet. I didn't have a keyboard attached, so I just typed X.
But there's still no vibration.
Huh.
And there was no vibration.
All right. Well, basically, Joe said that if you make less than $400,000 a year, you won't pay a single cent in taxes.
I think he said obviously you pay a single cent more in taxes.
No, it's not. That's not what he said.
Is that a gaffe?
I'm sure that it was. But
well, I mean, it's funny, you know, because the way you talk, I would have thought that you were like one of those, you know, 500,000-aires who was, you know, being raked over the coals by Biden's proposed tax plans.
No. But I'm not looking forward to my taxes going up either, which is what will happen when the tax cuts expire.
Yeah, no one wants their taxes to go up. Hey, it's funny because I'm going to be feeling some pain pretty soon. I'll be writing like a $400 check to the state of Virginia because apparently they didn't take enough money from me. I guess a couple from last year. So I really don't like. Yeah, I can empathize.
For sure, man. For sure. Well, I'm not sure what to. Let me do a quick test. Can you hear this?
Come on, man.
Did you hear that at all? Does that come through for you?
Nope, not at all. And it didn't show up on Joan's Joan either in terms of the vibration.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. We don't need to go into the details, but let's just take our break now and we'll try to get things straightened out. And like I said at the beginning, stick with us because the next segment will blow your mind. Catch you in a few.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Look at me.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out now.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting, because we all know if you don't have anything nice to say, say it really, really loud.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
There's a fellow by the name of Noah, built an ark. Everybody knows he built an ark. He said, what did Noah do? He said, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was in his rec room sawing away. He was making a few things for the home there. He's a good carpenter. It's vuba, 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 vuba. Noah. Somebody call? Vuba, vuba, vuba. Noah. Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah. Right. Where are you? What do you want? I've been good. I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Get
get some wood, build it 300 cubits by 80 cubits by 40 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about that, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world, collect all of the animals in the world by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on candid camera? How you gonna do it? I'm gonna make it rain 4,000 days and drown them right out. Right. Listen to this, you'll save water. Let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and wait for the sewers to back up. Right.
And we're back. Knock on wood, but all technical issues have been dealt with.
Yep, all of them. ALL. There will never be another technical issue ever.
Oh, my God, Joe. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. Tempting the fate. So, yeah, I've been super excited since you shared this with me this morning. I think you even commented, like, we should do some research on this. And I decided that, yeah, I needed to do research this morning. So,
And before you play it, before we go into it, it's one of those things where you never know what's going to pique somebody's interest. So this is one of those things where I come across the stuff and I just regularly send it Brian's way just because that type of guy, I guess. And, funny.
Well, I can say almost pretty confidently that if someone ever asks me again, like tries to call me out and say, well, just exactly what is the New World Order? Who is the New World Order? Who are these evil people that you talk about? I will point to BlackRock Inc. and the Vanguard Group.
Okay.
Because,
if these are those guys.
These are for sure, man. So you sent me the TikTok video this morning that I watched, and I pulled the audio off of it. We'll let this guy do his spiel. But afterwards, we'll talk about it. And I also did my own kind of like independent verification of the things that this guy says. So this is this is about 3 minutes, but soak it in, people. This is crazy.
Crazy.
So if you haven't had your mind blown in a while, I am about to blow it up. Follow me. So BlackRock and Vanguard own everything. And I mean everything. So for example, you can find all of this on Yahoo Finance. Go there, type in a company, look at the ownership breakdown. This is Pepsi. Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street. This is Coca-Cola. These are the food brands they own. I'm telling you, just go to Yahoo Finance and look it up. This is no bullshit. They own Twitter. They own Facebook. They own Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google and YouTube. They own Apple. They own Microsoft. They are enormous investors in Android. So Apple and Android, both owned by them. They own IBM. They own Intel. They own all the software companies and computer companies that you would look at social media on, which they own the social media companies. They own the travel booking companies. They own the airplane companies. They own Shell. They own BP. They own Exxon. They own the mining companies that we use, and they own the metals. They own the agricultural industry and the machines used to harvest that agriculture. They own Big Pharma. They own the banks, so they hold your money. They also own Visa. They own MasterCard. They own practically everything. They work closely with the federal government, giving them loans and grants. They own the media you watch, CBS, NBC, CNN, HBO, TNT, Stars. And feel free to fact check me. Go to Yahoo Finance, type in these companies, and look at the top four or five stockholders. You will find Vanguard and BlackRock and sometimes Berkshire Hathaway at the top every time. The more companies you type in, the more this is going to freak you out. So who invests in Vanguard and BlackRock, and who does Vanguard and BlackRock invest their money into? The Clintons, the Bushes, the Obamas, Schiff, Pelosi, Schumer, McConnell. And so when you go to look up who owns Vanguard, it's private, is where it gets tricky, because these people like to keep a low profile. The Orsini family, the Bush Foundation, and the Bush family, and both of them are Skull and Bones alum from Yale, if you want to go like hopping down that rabbit hole. That's a whole nother story. The royal family, some of the other names I'm sure you've heard of are the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Vanderbilt family, and if you look closely, who is that? Anderson Cooper, Mr. CNN. These two companies, along with State Street and Berkshire Hathaway, make roughly 86% of the money in the world. Go look it up. It is all there if you're willing to take the time to research it. And maybe next time when CNN is pushing a Pfizer vaccine, people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to take that. And then Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are fact-checking that and censoring people and doctors that speak out against it. Think twice and then think one more time. These people do not care about you or I. They care about themselves.
So was you able to hear that, Joe?
I was able to hear it. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you. For some reason, you keep going on mute.
Hmm.
That's what you get for tempting the tech gods, man.
I did. Well, you did warn me. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, these people, this group own, I mean, it's just, it's everything. What do you do when, because I first heard about BlackRock, and I think I even mentioned it maybe a few shows ago that they're going around buying up all these properties.
Yeah.
You know, practically entire neighborhoods at a time. They're paying like premiums for the properties. And, but I mean, that's like, they're on their way, if they're not already, to just owning so much
like one property. One of the largest landowners in America.
Yeah. And we already know that Bill Gates is the largest farm owner of farmland in America.
Yeah, arable farmland, yes. And I think one of them trying to buy water, too. I think that might be Bill Gates as well.
So, he's right. This is crazy. I went to Yahoo Finance. I put in a name. There's a link called Holders, Holders, that takes you to a page where it shows you the top institutional holders. And without fail, BlackRock and Vanguard, at least BlackRock, usually it's BlackRock and Vanguard and one other, like the top three. Just PepsiCo and Coca-Cola. Now, that's way more than they own way more than just the soft drinks. They own, you know, tons of food, tons of the food products that we eat.
To me, the thing that brought it all home was that the last portion of of the clip where he's like, so when CNN is pushing a Pfizer vaccine, and then, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and Google, all people owned by the same company, are fact checking, and he said, think once, and think twice, and then think again. So that was the he did a great job of letting you know how large this was in scope. So, you know, basically any American brand, any international American brand is probably owned by these guys, and it just lets you know how much they dominate our life. And dominate probably is the right word.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, Facebook, which owns WhatsApp and Instagram, Twitter, we know, Alphabet, which owns Google, YouTube, Gmail, even Android.
Quick question. Is Nike on your list?
You know what? I didn't, but I'll verify real quick.
And the reason I asked is because, we had issues with Nike earlier last week, right?
Yeah, they're,
CCP.
Yep. CCP. So, Nike. Okay. Holders. Top three, Vanguard, like BlackRock, State Street Corporation. Yep.
What was the top three?
Vanguard Group and BlackRock.
Oh, wow. Good. Yeah. Bad guy one and bad guy two.
It's almost comical. Like you could almost put anything in and it's like they own it.
Well, I mean, that's the point where it becomes not comical. Like, it's funny when you're like, oh, yeah, like, let's just see if we can think of some random companies. And then, like, you know, after the fourth or fifth one, like, okay, this is not funny anymore. This is kind of scary.
I know. Apple and Microsoft. So that's tech. I mean, that's basically, and for most people, that's the internet.
Yeah. I would, I don't know why, but I would add, Google.
Yeah. Alphabet, that's Google. Alphabet, Apple, Microsoft. That's basically the internet. And Twitter, Twitter and Facebook. Yeah. Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna.
Those names are all famous.
BlackRock. Entertainment, Netflix, Vanguard and BlackRock. Amazon, BlackRock, Vanguard. Time Warner, it says, is a private company. I couldn't find anything on them.
Well, private basically means they don't, my understanding is they don't sell shares.
Right.
And so BlackRock and Vanguard don't have an opportunity to become a part owner of them.
Right. Walt Disney, BlackRock, Vanguard, and Comcast.
Sorry, Walt Disney. I think I may have said something about them, Walt Disney being on my mind. And it's like, the more and more I think about Walt Disney, they're probably the biggest purveyors of propaganda out there.
Yep.
But we can go to that on a different time.
We can, but you're absolutely right. It's not you hear Walt Disney and it kind of evokes, at least for people my age, it evokes images of, like, you know, the cartoon, the Cinderella,
Warren the Fox. And
yeah, but they're way, way beyond that. And they are, you probably said it best, probably one of the largest purveyors of propaganda in the United States, in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. World.
You're absolutely right. Comcast, Fox Corp. So the new, it's just, Jesus. It's just insane to think that two groups. And if we could ever find out who sits on the board of those two groups, that would be the New World Order.
I'm sure we could.
Maybe. I don't know. That guy in your video said that it was they're super secretive. I'll do some research and see if I can find out anything.
Yeah, I think I think it said the owners are super secretive, but I think it as an entity has to publish, you know, who runs them. But I mean, this is research for the summer.
Yeah. So, but it's just mind boggling, man. And it's, you hear it at first and you'd want to be like, you want to just throw it in the conspiracy theory bucket, but then you start literally looking at it and I don't know. And then you combine that with all the property that they're scooping up. It's just,
The other thing that caught my attention was that whole 86% number. 86% of the money made in the world. I'm like, wait a minute. That's a lot, that's a large chunk.
Yeah. And I think we said, these are just things I just done like search of like American companies. I didn't even delve into Europe or anything like that. But I think, there's an article that I read linked that talks about, I think, like some European countries as well. But I didn't bother looking them up yet. I don't even know if they would be on. Yahoo Finance or not. Anyway,
I mean, if they're internationally traded, they should be on Yahoo Finance. Okay. And if they're a European company, they should have pretty similar, disclose or probably more exacting disclosure rules than here in the States.
Yeah, this article that I linked to is actually a transcript of a 45-minute YouTube video that talks about this. I think I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it after the show, the video, because it as I'm browsing down through here, it looks like they really like they jumped down the rabbit hole. But again, I'm not going to poo-poo that because that's the things like George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, Nelson Mandela, the Cecil Rhodes, the Rockefellers, Kissinger, Soros, Klaus Schwab.
If you just went around and said, okay, we're trying to find a definition for money, which of these names should we use? Who has it?
I know that Soros has it. and you always hear Rockefeller. You always hear the Rockefellers name brought up. There's another one that I can't think of that I'm not seeing.
I mean, this kind of almost gets into if you've seen some of the Bond movies.
Yeah.
Or you've got these guys who literally have more money than God, and they're, trying to figure out if they're going to take over the world. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to that video I found too, if you want to
check
it out.
I would appreciate that.
Because this is a transcript of the video, so yeah, it's just. But you know what? It's interesting, but it's depressing. What can we as citizens do,
Well, and the thing is, I don't think you can escape these guys.
No.
You probably can't, there's probably not a biological function that you need to satisfy to stay alive that doesn't include one of those two guys.
I was thinking, this got me thinking. We own, our family owns, I don't know how many acres it is, but we own a good plot of land in the town that I was raised in.
Mm-hmm.
And that town is, I got a feeling that as Amazon, I think Amazon is already in the Wilmington Air Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's where it's where DHL used to be.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so that's it's like the airport is like one of the only airports in the world that like this super jumbo kind of a plane can land in. That's beside the point though. I got a feeling that just like Wilmington and the surrounding communities died when DHL left, I think that there's going to be a resurgence as Amazon's presence grows. And I could envision a time in the relatively near future when we're going to that Amazon or someone not maybe not Amazon, but
trying to buy that land and develop it.
Exactly.
You know what? It's funny you should say Amazon is going to be having an imprint in your hometown, because in my town where I am, you know, in the DC DMV area, that's where HQ2 is supposed to be. So their presence is being anticipated to be felt in terms of basically the place being too expensive to live very soon.
Yeah, and to be honest, when I decide to sell this condo, the fact that Amazon is working out of the Cincinnati airport, which is just a couple exits down from me.
They're working out of the Cincinnati airport?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I mean, it would make sense for them to be working out of the airport in that town.
Right.
But I didn't know they were working out of Cincinnati. It's funny that DHL airport. We've talked about that place a lot over the years.
Yeah, they really fucked Wilmington, man.
But I remember like a long time ago, there was some news story, people were driving to deliver food to hungry children, and I remember we were listening to the story and we thought it was Afghanistan, but it was actually
it was a food drive for Wilmington.
Exactly. And, that was 20 years ago, but that airport, which no one will ever fly into, has figured quite regularly in our conversations.
That's interesting to note for sure. But anyway, my point was, I don't know that I'd want to sell. But then, I mean,
it's usually one of those things that if you don't want to sell, they used the system to get it.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they even had a Supreme Court case where that basically said that the city can use eminent domain to take your stuff and offer it to a development company if they think it'll be the public good. Chances are you're probably best off holding off for a little bit, getting a high price, and then selling. Because, I mean, if they want it, they'll find a way to get it.
Yeah, I know. But property ownership is like one of the fundamental staples of America, being able to own your own property. And it seems like if we lose that,
I'd say it's property ownership, capitalism. And capitalism basically says, the guys with the capital get to make the rules. So you can't say property ownership and leave out capitalism. Sorry.
I don't know about that, but
so to me it's consistent.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's that article made me way more leery of the predicament that we as people are in, and not just Americans, but people around the world. These people hold all the cards, and if they was to ever decide to really become evil, man, I wonder what damage could be done.
Part of me says, we don't know they haven't decided to become really evil. I mean, we still do make and sell a lot of guns and ammo,
Well.
So, I mean, they may be being evil, but that evilness may not be being visited upon you know, the populations of United States and Western Europe directly.
Well, I don't know about Europe, but we need to keep our guns. We need to get more guns, and
I don't know, Brian. That sounds like dangerous thinking.
You're right. That's wrong think. For sure. So, and I don't know that. I don't know. I was having a hard time finding a story, a good story for our shenanigans and skullduggery section here. So, this is I went to the trashiest site that I could think of, and that would be the Daily Mail. And just started browsing down through it,
they know what I like.
Yeah, so I picked out a few articles, and this was I found this to be the most skullduggerous of them. Maybe, I don't know. This really doesn't matter in the big scheme of things anymore. But I can remember, you know, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition was always, I don't want to say it was something special, but it was just part of, it was like a part of American culture, you know. It was everybody, you know, all the boys got a, you know, they got a red phone and a subscription to Sports Illustrated. The red phone was just like they always gave away a football phone, a phone that was shaped like a football.
Oh, as yeah, a gift for ordering. What is he talking about?
Yeah, not to, I don't know where a red phone came from, but the football phone is what I meant. You know, you get the subscription to Sports Illustrated, and then every year you'd get the swimsuit edition, and you'd see the Cheryl Ladds and the Cindy Crawfords. And back when supermodels were attractive and not like little waifs and look like, you know, heroin addicts and whatnot, back when they were beautiful. But
it seemed like they went the other way.
Like, yeah, it's just like
I'm looking at the link and I'm like, okay, the first chick, I'm like, okay, cool. But as I scroll down further, it's like,
I'll read while you're looking at those. I'll read. I just took like the first paragraph or so from the story, but title, is this Sports Illustrated's most inclusive runway show yet? Curvy models, and not necessarily in a good way, including a personal chef and an influencer, which that makes me sick. Influencer as a fucking, I guess, occupation. Set Pulses Racing in Miami at annual swimwear showcase. Sports Illustrated revealed several of this year's swimsuit issue models in March at the annual showcase last night at Mondrian South Beach in Miami. The curvy models looked sensational on the catwalk. Introduced a diverse cast of women of different ages with different body types. Cast include Canadian-born Amanda Kay and personal chef Chelsea Heath. Sports Illustrated has shown its commitment to inclusivity by featuring a host of curvy models at its annual iconic fashion show. The magazine revealed several of this year's swimsuit issue models ahead of their official launch. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I put a bunch of the pictures in the show note, in the extra section on the joehigh.com, but, or you can click on the link and look at the actual website, which is what Joe is doing. But I don't know, man. It's,
most of these, I don't want to sound like pejorative, but yeah, most of these are just like,
here's the thing. I don't want to, none of these women are, I mean, I'm a real, you know, women come in all shapes and sizes and they're all, it's all fine. It's all, you know, I have no problem with it. All of these women are beautiful. They have varying. Well, beautiful, but they have varying body types. But you know, they're just, and it's fine. But I just, I don't know, man. I don't know why. It just, I guess it's because it's just like a more tearing down of what I consider. You know what? When Trump said, "Make America Great Again," it takes what that means to me is it takes me back to my childhood or things that I think are American, and I think it's interpreted every way, but you know, basketball, football, basketball, all of these things have been corrupted.
They've absolutely been corrupted. Well, let me just say this. I'm looking at this this model, Elena Helicus, and she looks like she should be on a stage anywhere. And I think you do a disservice to these women by, you know, putting them on a stage. And yeah, they don't look terrible, but these are pictures they're not going to be able to live. You know, they're always out there now.
Well, there's this movement of, you know, there's nothing wrong with big women are beautiful. And I'm not saying that they're not, but you shouldn't promote, you shouldn't try to, I don't think people who are overweight, that comes with health risks and people shouldn't, I don't know. I just don't think that there's necessarily, I don't know. I feel like the more I'm saying, the more I'm,
it's one of those things
to get myself into a hole, but it's
Sports Illustrated, you know, swimsuit edition. So you presume that the target audience is a bunch of men, and so you presume that, you know, as a part of the target audience, you should have some discretion in, like, hey, you know what? We want to see this. We don't want to see that. We don't want to see the people that look like, you know, our moms and our teachers as, you know, swimsuit models. That's just, you know, it's not what people want to see. And just like the Victoria Angels from a couple weeks ago, they're going out and giving the it's funny because, you know, they chose the soccer lady, but she's not like a regular. She's like about as fit and trim as anyone's going to ever be. So but people don't want to see, you know, teachers and the chick that's, you know, checking out your groceries.
Absolutely. And I'll bet you did too, but as I was going down through these pictures, I kept looking for a big lump in their crotch area.
A lump in their where?
Their crotch area.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they made it, you should be looking for the lump in the throat, because they're likely going to have that one taken care of. But you know what? It's funny because a trans woman would never be this big and in front of a camera.
That's something I wanted to point out also. This is, if people haven't noticed, up until you said that, this has been a trans-free episode. I did not bring any stories that had to do with the LGBTQ at all in this episode. And there were, I passed over a lot of stories because there were, well, and there were, I mean, some, yeah, good, because, ones, but.
And last month was, you know, Pride Month, and there were a lot of stories. Have you heard as much? Well, you just said you just passed over a few.
Yeah, they're out there. They're still coming. Uh-huh. The gay choir in San Francisco, that was a big kerfuffle.
What happened with, you know what, don't care.
Yeah, it was, they were trying to be, they were, they done a song, and I don't, I know what they were trying, they were just trying to be tongue in cheek and jokey about it, but it was essentially like, it was around, hey, we're coming to take your kids.
Yeah,
and so I get that they were trying to be, Yeah, they were trying to be they took the video down, and you got to go to like some alt tech sites to find reuploads of it, but they took it down from the
that's like gay people going off message.
Yeah, it didn't work out the way they wanted.
Well, cuz I think for the longest time they've been on the, you know, hey, we're like your best friends and we just so happen to be gay. Now they're like, hey, we can joke about coming to take your children.
Yeah, and again, I know that it was a joke, but
yes, but
it was. They should have known. It was just like bad optics, and they should have known better. Anyway, let's see.
So good work on putting together a trans-free episode. I know we were questioning whether we were becoming trans watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. Anyway, that brings us to the end of tonight's show. Little bit of housekeeping here. And I think Joe alluded to it if you were paying attention earlier. But and this is mostly on me. But I'm going to take a summer vacation from the show for a while. I'm just to decompress. I'm feeling a bit burnt out and. I just need a break. So yes, the plan
I always tell people how taxing the show is and how, like, you know, you're always getting text messages and emails at like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and people didn't believe me, but like, you know, this we make this podcast stuff look easy, but it's not.
There is a lot. It's not like boohoo for me or anything, but it does take a bit of work to put the show together, and I don't want the show to suffer, and if it's starting to feel like a chore to me, then it is something that I enjoy doing. I think I just need to take a break. So the plan is whatever the first Thursday in September is, that we'll be back, and I have plans, no promises, but I hope the show will be even better when we get back. I want to make some infrastructure changes and whatnot. So hopefully that'll all be accomplished. But everyone, just thanks for listening. Enjoy your summer, and I'll see you this September. Take care, everybody.